Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thanks for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. This past June, CEF began our summer-long ministry season with our annual two-week summer missionary training school held at Camp Gnu's in Washington, Illinois. The Lord blessed us this year with almost 60 students ranging from early high school age through college age and even beyond. Each of these students will be serving as CEF summer missionaries, either teaching five-day clubs all over the state of Illinois or serving as camp counselors and summer staff at Camp Gnu's. You know, I love working with young people and watching God at work both in and through their lives. Midway through our two-week training school, we had a testimony campfire night, and student after student came up and streamed up to the front to stand in line testifying to what God had been doing in their lives, particularly during the CEF training school. There was no question about it. God was at work, transforming them, molding them, remaking them, and drawing them ever closer to Himself, all by the power of the Holy Spirit and God's Word being poured out into them through all the messages and also by the love of the body of Christ surrounding them. What God did in these students' lives those first 2 weeks was amazing. And now I just can't wait to see what God is going to do through them as they go out in the strength of the Lord God, proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to boys and girls all throughout the state this summer. You know, already in the first week of ministry in mid-June, 293 children heard the gospel by coming to either one of our several CEF 5-day clubs or by attending the Vacation Bible Camp at Camp Gnu's. In this very first week alone, 15 children trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord! What a great start to the summer ministry that we've already had. This year, our theme for our summer ministry, especially through the 5-day clubs, is called One Way. All of our Bible lessons, songs, scripture memory verses, and even review games for children are all tied around the one-way theme, including our CEF training school theme verse, John 14:6, that says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to my Father which is in heaven, but by me." I love this year's theme because the Bible, God's Word from cover to cover, is all about the one way, pointing ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only way. For many children growing up today, the Bible is like a foreign book to them, filled with a foreign language that they have never heard or understood. If you ask the average child in the United States where John 3:16, for example, was found in the Bible, they wouldn't even know maybe what you're talking about or even where to turn to. Or even for some, if you were to ask them where the book of Genesis is, they couldn't find that either. It's a sad state. But what's even sadder than not knowing just the basic structure of the Bible or simple verses, but not knowing or understanding the main message of the Bible. And what is that main message of the Bible from cover to cover? It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the main story of the Bible, because Jesus is the only way for our salvation. You know, I remember when I was a child learning all the stories in the Bible. Each week when I came to Sunday school or church, I would hear a different story, but a familiar story. Sometimes it would be a sweet story from the New Testament about the love of the Lord Jesus and healing a sick person or a lame person, or I would hear a riveting, powerful story from the Old Testament about the power of God, like the parting of the Red Sea or the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. For years, I saw the Bible like a big jigsaw puzzle, filled with different stories, each unique and colorful in themselves, but all true. But what I failed to see when I was growing up, the big picture of how the whole Bible, in every book and in every story and in every way, how it all ultimately points to the one theme, the one thing, the one way. It was as if in my childhood I had been looking at all the scattered and jumbled pieces of the Bible's pages, but never understanding why it was there. All the stories and all the words of the Bible were true, of course, but they all seemed disconnected to me from one another with no overarching purpose. I'm not sure when it happened or how it happened. I think it was when I went to Bible school that I began to see how both the Old Testament and the New Testament all come together and fit together like two bookends of the same story. I remember later sitting in seminary class in my Christian education as a teacher unfolded a Bible chart timeline of the whole Bible from beginning to end. I'll never forget it. It began in Genesis with creation, Adam and Eve, and the fall, then progressed on throughout the whole Old Testament, stopping at all the main signposts, pointing out the main pictures of the promises and prophecies, all culminating in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels and the New Testament, and then on through the end to the book of Revelation and Christ's second coming yet to come. I was thrilled. I could hardly sit still. I was so excited. It was like the blinders had been taken off, and I could now clearly see how the Bible tells one story, not two, and how the Bible is all about the Lord Jesus Christ from cover to cover, from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. Because after all, the Bible says, it declares that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of not only the whole entire Bible, but of everything. Jesus is the story of the Bible, and the storyline message of the Bible is that Jesus is the one way. So here's a task. How do you lay out the whole storyline of the Bible that all points to Jesus as the one way when you only have 5 Bible lessons to teach children in a CEF 5-day club? Now, that's a challenge. But our goal in Child Evangelism Fellowship is not to be exhaustive with the children, but to simply put forth and lay out what the Bible teaches from cover to cover, that Jesus is the only way. This year, our first day's Bible lesson began with the story of Cain and Abel. Now, that may seem like a strange place to begin, but it is here in Genesis chapter 4 that we have a beautiful and a more clear picture of the one way to be accepted with God through the offering of the innocent lamb, a blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. It is also here in Genesis 4 that we had the beginning form lines of God's salvation plan laid out, which is God's righteous way of saving unrighteous sinners to be in a right relationship with Him again, all through faith alone in the blood of the Lamb. Genesis 4 may seem to us a bit abstract or even animistic at first glance, but it is in God's Word for a purpose. Recently, I've been reading many of Charles Spurgeon's sermon, who is known as the Prince of Preachers, and he gave a whole sermon to the message of Genesis chapter 4 on Cain and Abel in a sermon he entitled The Voice of the Blood of Christ. Spurgeon said concerning the difference between Cain and Abel, he said, they both brought a sacrifice on a certain high day. Cain took a different view of the matter of sacrifice from that which presented itself to the mind of Abel. Cain was proud and haughty. He said, I am ready to confess that the mercies which we receive from the soil are a gift from God, but I am not ready to acknowledge that I am a guilty sinner, deserving God's wrath. Therefore, he said, I will bring nothing but the fruit of the ground. Ah, but Abel said, I feel that while I ought to be grateful for temporal mercies, and at the same time I have sins to confess, though I have iniquities to be pardoned, and I know that without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. Therefore, he said, I will bring of the firstlings of my flock, and I will shed blood upon the altar, because my faith is that there is yet to come a great victim who is actually to make atonement for the sins of men, and by the slaughter of this lamb for my sins I express my solemn faith in him. The teaching of the unfolding storyline within the Bible of the Lamb fills the scriptures from cover to cover like a reoccurring theme song. It begins in Genesis and it crescendos all the way through to the end of the book of Revelation and the final revelation and the worship of the Lamb. For all eternity, this is how we will see the Lord Jesus as the Lamb slain, who has redeemed us unto God by his blood. And this is how we and the children must see Jesus now to be in a right relationship with God. Jesus is a lamb offered for our sins, and our sins are only forgiven through faith alone in him. The Gospel of John, when Jesus first appears on the scene, rings out the one way of salvation that the whole Old Testament was pointing to from the very beginning. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The second day's Bible lesson in our 5-day clubs is a bit obtuse and dismally unlike story found in the Old Testament. It's the story of the snake being lifted up in the wilderness and the only one way of healing and deliverance for the Israelites to be safe from the penalty of death for their punishment of their complaining sins was by looking up at the brazen snake hung high on the pole. I don't like snakes, and neither do, I think, children, but here in the Bible we have another huge one-way sign that one greater than Moses was going to one day come who will be lifted up on the altar of the cross in payment for our sin, dying in our place so that we wouldn't have to be punished and die in our sins, but instead by looking up through faith alone in him, we would be healed from the punishment and the penalty of our sin once and for all. We then followed up this day's story with another story of the flip side found in the New Testament, where Jesus specifically referenced the Old Testament story to Nicodemus, a high-ranking Jewish Pharisee religious ruler of the day. Nicodemus, he thought he knew who Jesus was, and he called him rabbi, teacher, but Nicodemus was completely clueless and confused about who Jesus is and why Jesus had come. Jesus said in John chapter 3 those all so familiar words, but listen to them again as Jesus points back to the Old Testament of this story to point to himself and to explain that he alone, through faith alone in him, by believing in him, is the one way to be made right with God, to be in God's kingdom and have eternal life. Jesus said in John chapter 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." These words of Jesus and God's word are so clear. For Jesus and Jesus alone, through faith alone in him, is the only way. My favorite story in our five-day club lesson series this year, though, is the story of Naaman in the Old Testament. I would love to tell it to you. In fact, I actually called this story Naaman and the Seven Ducks, because Naaman, in order to be cured from his leprosy, of his disease, he had to duck and down in the Jordan River not once, but seven times, Naaman and the Seven Ducks. This isn't, though, a story about a penitent man. In fact, this is a story about an angry man who finally saw and believed that he must accept God's one way to be healed. In the same way, we must see that God has only one way of washing away our sins, and that is in giving his only Son in payment for sin, so that through faith alone in him, not only are our sins remitted, washed away, removed from us once and for all, but we also have been restored to us, not just life as usual, but the very righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, making us better than new. Christ took our sins on the cross, and by faith alone in him, our sins are nailed to his cross. Instead of God giving to us a judgment that we deserved, God not only takes away our sin, but also God gives us his Son's very righteousness, all because we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. I love it. I could preach and proclaim that message all day long, especially to the children who have never heard and so desperately they need to know. The final day story in our five-day club Bible lesson series this year is the story of the prodigal son, which at first, when you look at it, seems to be lacking a bit in the theme of the one way. But at closer look, you see that with these three full parables found in Luke chapter 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and lost son, it is all about knowing that before you can be found, you need to first understand that you are lost and separated from your Heavenly Father because of your sin. That was the Pharisees' problem, who are the original receivers and hearers of this story, this parable that Jesus told them. But even after the Pharisees, they heard this story from Jesus themselves, they still didn't get it. They still didn't understand that they were the ones who were lost. They were the ones who were lost, and they refused to acknowledge their sin. But what I also love about this final story in our five-day club lesson series of the prodigal son is the emphasis of the great rejoicing that takes place at the end of the story that happens when the lost one comes home and the lost one is now found. Do you remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 15? He says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Think about those words again, over one sinner that repents. There is joy in the presence of the angels because of that one sinner who is now found. You know, just last week after chapel at Vacation Bible Camp, I saw a group of girls all hugging each other and jumping up and down. Then I heard one of them say, "So-and-so received Christ. She just believed in the Lord Jesus as her Savior." More group hugs, more jumping up and down. I actually thought they were going to maybe even knock her down onto the couches with her joy and excitement that was just breaking out. But then I stopped and I thought about it. What a picture. Just like they're rejoicing here, the angels in all of heaven is breaking out in joy and rejoicing up there. Wow. You know, the summer that we have in ministry is not about the the number of students, the number of clubs, the number of camps that we have, and not even the number of children who receive Christ as their Savior for the number of salvations. God is the only one who knows that. This summer and all of our ministry year-round is all about the gospel and proclaiming the one way of salvation to children and to all who will hear, so that whosoever will can come and place their trust in the Lord Jesus by faith alone in Him, who is the only one who can forgive them of their sins and give them eternal life. It's all about Jesus, because Jesus is the only one. Jesus is the only way. Thanks again for listening to Telling Future Generation, and it's our desire that you too would go out boldly in the strength of the Lord God, proclaiming to others, especially to the children of this future generation who need to hear the one way of salvation. For as the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
Tell me again.